Today's reading is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 9, which can be found on page 187. Do not forget the Lord. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all this way in the wilderness these 40 years, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that the man does not live on bread alone, but in every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where the bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills.
Well, thank you, Florence, for reading that for us. Do keep that open in front of you. Has anybody not eaten today? Has anybody not eaten today? Good. I'm pleased at that. Daily food is so basic, isn't it? We don't have to think about the eating of it. We do have to think about the buying of it. We have to prepare for that. But it's just part of our daily routine. And the same foods are staple. Historically, that has been bread in this country. Somebody said to me this morning, is that a brick? I said, no, it is not. It is a loaf of bread. Believe me, it is bread. Whatever it may be, we need bread or its equivalent to live. Daily food without which we cannot be sustained. I was in the petrol station. Our petrol station nearby has a Greggs in it. And I was there and I was listening to a guy buying a pasty, and he said, I'm starving. I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse. Now, it didn't look as if he was starving. It didn't look like he'd not eaten for days. Rarely have any of us known hunger. We may have gone a while without food and say, I'm so hungry. We've probably never gone more than 2 or 3 days without any food in our lives, unless we've been particularly ill. Yet many millions in our world today will not have eaten and will not know where food is coming from tomorrow. And they are desperate for food. I imagine that was what it was like for the people of God in the time of Moses. There they were in the desert and the wilderness, barren, dry, inhospitable, and in desperate need of food. And they weren't there just a few days or a few weeks. They were there 40 years. And they were there because they had disobeyed God. You remember, they'd been in Egypt. They'd been slaves in Egypt, oppressed, badly treated. And then God rescued them. He brought them out through the Red Sea and defeated their enemies and saved them. And then as his saved people, he gave them instructions, promises about the great future he had for them. As you've just read here, a land flowing with milk and honey. But they failed to go up and take the land. They disobeyed God. They didn't follow his instructions. They did not believe his promise that he would be with them and help them to enter into the land. And so, under God's punishment, they ended up in the wilderness. And yet the promise of the land still remained. And Moses, in this passage that Florence has just read, is talking about the lessons that they should have learnt during the wilderness. There is a purpose in God's hard times that we experience. Pick it up in verse 2 if you're with me there in a Bible. The Lord led you all the way. Despite this rebellion against God, they were not cast off. In the toughest of places, he was there with them and for them. And he was doing something that needed to happen. Two things, he says, humble you and to test you. Now, why did they need humbling? That is because they were proud. They thought they knew best, that the promised land was not their best option. They doubted God's word and decided in favor of their word, and God humbled them, and he tested them. As it says, he wanted to know what was in their hearts, to see if they loved the Lord their God, not just in the good times, but in the hard times. And part of their humbling was causing them to hunger, because when you're hungry, you're dependent upon others. We will have all have witnessed that on the streets maybe of Reading, where we've seen someone begging for food. That is very humbling if you put yourself in that position. And God supplied their need. He fed them with manna, this food from heaven, day by day, just enough. No one's quite sure what this food was, but it was nutritious enough to keep them from famine and starvation. But look how the sentence goes on, and here's the point. It was to teach them this: man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. If you remember one thing from this afternoon, remember that. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God had given them manna, life-giving food, so that they wouldn't starve. He'd given it to teach them something far more important than just that he could provide for them. He's not downplaying the importance of bread. He's not saying that you don't need bread, but he's saying there is more to life than bread. Literally translated, not bread only, but the mouth of God. So what is it that comes from the mouth of the Lord? Well, it is speech. Just as my words are coming to you from my words are coming to you from my mouth, so God's words come from his mouth. We often refer to the Bible as God's word because this is what it is. It is the written record of God's speech. What comes out of his mouth? The Bible is God's word. We want to know what God has to say. Well, there's no mystery. There's no guessing. There's no, I think this is what God would say. No, he's revealed it here. And what does this word contain? But the record of his dealings with the world, particularly with a people gathering people to himself through his son Jesus, saving them. It contains his promises, his instructions, his character, what the future holds, and far more. And Moses is saying that this word, in this word, God provides daily bread, and he promises far more. Bread would keep them alive physically, as it does us. But the word of life gives, the word of God gives life its purpose, its value. It's where we find love, unlike human love, that is the love of God in Jesus, costly, sacrificial, life-giving, life-sustaining, life-saving love. And it's where we find hope and peace and comfort and security and joy. So, as we said earlier, all life needs bread. Human life needs the mouth of God. So if you wanted to put it like this, bread to keep us alive and the Bible to give life meaning. Bread and the Bible. Now, as a Western culture, we've been for decades, well, I suppose really a couple of centuries, moving away from God's word and saying materialistically, this is all we need, bread alone. We think we can get along fine without God. And increasingly, we find in our culture that this word of God is considered irrelevant and out of date and increasingly dangerous and restrictive of human freedom. And it should therefore be sidelined and increasingly silenced. But that won't lead to life. It'll only lead to death. But this word reminds us of just how essential God's word is. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And we believe that God speaks. This is his living word. And if we listen and humble ourselves, we will find it to be the word of life. And this is why we're looking at this passage today, to remind ourselves how essential God's word is. It is the center of our life together as a church, because God and his son Jesus are at the center. And we hear from them as we open God's word. But let me ask, what place does this word have in our personal lives, day by day? We've heard from a number of families what place it has. This time of year always has a sense, doesn't it, of a new year. Certainly for those with children in education, it's a new beginning. But I want to suggest this is true for many of us as we return maybe to school or to uni or to the office. Maybe we haven't been there for months. The restrictions of lockdown in the past 18 months have eased. And in a sense, there is a resetting of patterns of life after months of disruption. What patterns will we establish? Our daily food, there's no problem looking after that pattern. But man, we've been reading, does not live on bread alone. What place does God's word have then in our daily diet, our daily routine? Or are we like those people in the wilderness, identifying as those who followed God and followed Jesus, but practically ignoring God's word, functioning without it? Just as we said last week about our prayer lives, a week rolls by and we haven't prayed, nor have we read God's word. I don't say that to make us feel guilty, it's easily done, but to ask, what does this say about our relationship with God if we're neither talking to him or listening to him? Last week we heard Jesus' words that said this: always pray, don't give up. Let me ask, what's been the impact of that word on you this week? Has what you heard made any difference? Two reasons it may not have done. Reminders from last week, which are equally applicable to reading God's word. Set aside a time each day. Don't leave it to chance. If you do not plan, you will not pray. And that is equally true about reading God's word. So pick a time to read it and then turn up at the time that you have picked. And then secondly, combine your praying with reading God's word. Take what you read in the Bible and put it into prayer. Read and pray and repeat, and read and pray and repeat. If you don't know what to read, come and have a word with me, but Mark's Gospel in the New Testament is a great place to start. And just read a short passage, think what it's saying, and pray. And then tomorrow you can do the same. If you want to know more about what you might read, come and have a word afterwards. But it may be we've got so out of the habit that it's not actually a habit, or we've never got into the habit. Let's just be realistic. Habits take time and effort to form. Have you ever been down those dirt tracks in your car where you get into a rut? To such that that's an expression we use in life, isn't it? I'm in a rut. And you know that to get out of a rut, if you're in a car, takes a lot of effort to turn the wheel over the rut. Some of you are looking slightly blankly at me, but if you've ever been down, you know what it's like. And before you know it, you're back in the rut and you've got to take effort to get out of the rut. But eventually you end up in a better place. Well, now is a good time to set new patterns. I remember hearing some Korean Christians a while ago talking about their pattern. And they had it, it's very simple, it was so memorable: Bible before breakfast, no Bible, no breakfast. It's easy to remember, isn't it? No Bible, no breakfast. So, Bible, breakfast. Not the other way around, if you see what I mean. I wonder what the first thing you read, what the first words are that come to you. Is it on your mobile phone? Sits by your bed? Text, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is. How is that going to set you off on a course for the day, direct you, shape you, and encourage you to follow Jesus? Bible before bread. For man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. These words from Deuteronomy were words that Jesus had on his lips. And in the last couple of minutes, turn with me to look at what was happening to when he quoted them. Matthew chapter 4. If you'd like to see this with me, this is on page 967. Page 967. There's just been this voice from heaven at the end of chapter 3. God himself has declared of Jesus, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And then it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." What was Jesus' temptation? It was to doubt God's word, to doubt his provision for him, to doubt his love in the face of the circumstances. Now, we're meant to see the parallels here with Israel in the desert. They were 40 years. Jesus was 40 days. We know that 40 days is the limit you can go without food. You may remember the people who went on hunger strike many years ago in the Mays prison. 40 days was the limit of human endurance before you got sort of irreversible damage. And at the end, you would be weak and tired and desperate for food. Would Jesus be like the Israelites and grumble and complain and be disobedient? No, because this is the obedient Son of God. Tempted to doubt God, how tempting it would have been. But he turned to his Father in heaven, to his word. An ancient word from hundreds of years previously, but a present word speaking into his situation as it did to the Israelites. This is what he says. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Self-interest would have been screaming at him, go for the bread over obedience. But the pattern of Jesus at the beginning of his life here, through the temptations, he repeatedly goes to the word of God. And that would be the pattern through his life. He would listen to his Father in heaven first and foremost. Right up to the cross, he was obedient unto death. He pleaded that night before he died, not that he might not have to go through with it, but not my will, but yours be done. He trusted in God's word in the toughest of moments, hours of his life, knowing that in his death would be our life. Jesus said this in John's gospel, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven. That is speaking of himself. Whoever eats the bread will live forever. Do you want to live forever? To live with Jesus, to live with God who made you and created you? What a promise. If we come to him and feed on him and his word, we will live forever. What an encouragement to come to God and his word and find life in all its fullness. So what's the point? Read God's word, listen to God's word, sing God's word, pray and plan to do it. Ask God to help you find delight in him and his word, sweeter than honey. You've heard it before. You'll hear it again and again. And we need to because our sinful hearts continually need reminding. Bread and Bible. Bible and bread. For man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Izzy's going to come and lead us in prayer, and she's going to pray in response to what we've been hearing.